Hi, everybody. Every time I start a recording when saying hi, everybody, my little girl dog looks at me like, you talking to me? You talking to me? What are you saying? And he's saying hello. And it looks like you're talking to me, but you're holding your phone in front of your face, so I can't tell what you're up to. What are you doing? That's her. That's her voice. Just kidding.
She sounds like this.
Do you guys all have a silly voice for your dogs? I really hope that you do. So that you'll judge me less on that one.
Because that's how she sounds.
I mean, this is how we're out the gate today, guys. Can you tell I'm a little stir crazy? All right, I'm done embarrassing myself now. I mean, I'm not. Just in this particular vein, I'm done.
Oh, she yawned.
They don't know there's a pandemic going on. It's really cute. I watched her blissfully lick the bottom of my foot, unaware that the world is all freaking out. To her, this is just like, woo! Everybody's staying. Nobody's leaving us. And it's true. They are loving the fact that they don't have to be alone in this house ever. Like, I didn't think they could get clingier. But they have. They have really done that. In fact, as I'm saying this, she's climbing into my lap. So,
hi. Hi, baby girl.
Okay. You're just going to breathe into the mic? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, lay down. You lose it down. Just a good girl.
You guys want me to talk to you like that?
Everybody's doing real good. Doing real good on quarantine. Take care of yourselves. You're all very good girls and good boys. Good job. Good job, guys. Good job.
Remember when I said I was done embarrassing myself? So hi. Me and my dogs are hanging out on my bed. Like normal when I record. I'm hanging out in the lair. Where to begin, right? I think I'm going to save my own personal experiences sort of for the end of this little chit-chat that we're going to have here. And in the front, I'm going to, and I think I might, you know, we'll see how the response to this goes. I asked people, you know, what specific anxieties or concerns would you like me to address in a comfort audio? And a lot of the answers that I got back are answers that or issues that could be addressed really well with a workbook that I am working through, actually, currently, at a much slower pace than I should. There I go, shitting on myself. I'm working on it at my own damn pace. But the name of the book, I'm going to read the beginning of it. I might do like a chapter a day or something. Like, what the hell else are we doing? All our TV shows are shutting down. I'm feeling the absence of John Oliver tonight. I'm going to really miss that one. Anyway, The Resilience Workbook for Teens is the name of this workbook by Cheryl M. Bradshaw. Now, I am not going to be embarrassed about the fact that I'm doing a resilience workbook for teens, because I think most of us, whenever our trauma showed up, somewhere in childhood, usually the stuff that sticks with you, that embeds in your psyche, somewhere around those years. So, you know, it's written in I'm a grown up. I'm definitely not a teenager. But it's written in sort of a very easy to read way, because it's written to keep, you know, adolescent eyeballs on a page, which for me, who I'm pretty sure I've undiagnosed ADD, is really helpful. It also is just fantastic at, helping you rewire your brain and sort of, keeping plasticity there, keeping the ability to adapt to change emotionally and intellectually, psychologically. I think this is the biggest thing that we're all having a trouble with, is the surreal disruption of this. It's just everything is changing. Everything is going to be different. By the way, for those of you who this is no change to your normal routine, that's cool. Don't feel bad about that. For those of you who hate this, that's cool. Don't feel bad about that. And, hey, everybody, don't feel bad. That's my goal right now. So what I'm going to do in the aim of pursuing that goal is read to you from the Resilience Workbook. These are activities to help you gain confidence, manage stress, and cultivate a growth mindset. And I think it is applicable for so many different people. And every lens through which we view life, there's going to be an element of this that speaks to you and helps you. And I really like the second exercise, which maybe we'll get to tomorrow. Who knows? But for now, the second exercise, by the way, talks about rewriting stuck thoughts, anxieties, or worries that you ruminate on that keep repeating in your head. how to rewire those eventually. But let's start about, you know, your adaptive brain. Let's start out there. Okay. The Resilience Workbook for Teens by Cheryl M. Bradshaw, MA. This is not a substitute for therapy, but this is definitely a good way to occupy your mind during this squirrely time. So chapter one, rewiring the brain. Let's get started. The first thing to know about your brain is that it's awesome. I'm not kidding. That thing is a brilliant masterpiece. Even if sometimes it feels like it's working against you. When you start to look at what the brain does and why, even the frustrating bits of your brain are actually pretty amazing. One of the first things our brain does is to try to make every single thing we do more efficient. That's the tricky bit. Your brain is like a computer where, like in Windows, it will, quote, download and then, quote, store certain programs, pushing them into the, quote, background so that the more important programs can be running up front. I'll go over that again. One of the first things our brain does is to try to make every single thing we do more efficient. Your brain is like a computer where, like in Windows, it will download, then store certain programs, pushing them into the background so that the more important programs can be running up front. That alone is a really interesting thought. New things or challenging things that you're doing or learning are the main focus of your brain. But in order for you to be able to do them, it has to put certain other programs on hold. The brain likes to push different activities, habits, and even thoughts into the background so that you're more efficient and thus can do more things at once. For instance, as a young child, it took every ounce of your concentration to walk without falling over. Now, you can probably walk, talk, chew gum, think about school, text with your friends, all at the same time. Some of those things get pushed into the background, walking and chewing, so that your active brain, the conscious stuff, can be used for the more complicated stuff that you're actually doing. But we also have to know how to bring up old programs and change them if they aren't running properly. Think of your computer. When your system starts running really slowly and you hit Control-Alt-Delete to bring up the task manager, you see all those other programs running in the background of your computer that maybe you had no idea were running at all. You can then open those programs, change them, or close them if they aren't helping the system anymore. In the same way, when we have certain habits that we have learned and then stored in the background of our mind, we have to be able to slow down, pull them back out, and take time to change them around again. And I love that concept. We're about to get into the first exercise of the book, but I love that concept that we are completely wired for efficiency, and we are devoting our brain power to the most important thing in front of us. So everything else goes on autopilot. And you can catch yourself, especially if you're starting to think negatively, you can probably catch yourself with these programs running on autopilot in the background. Like, you can see that they're sort of following a prescribed route of, oh, when I'm stressed, I'm going to get negative, because that's what we've always done. And so a lot of this book is about rewiring those processes, into more positive sort of associations. More positive associations with negative emotion. Or instead of going to negativity when you're feeling stressed, you might immediately start channeling gratitude instead. It's possible, but let's start with the first exercise here. Let's try it. Step one. And I really love this exercise. I do this to people at parties because I am a weirdo. But it's really fun. And everyone looks at me like I am going to ask them to do something crazy or wild. It's a very simple exercise here. So follow with me and trust me, okay? I'm not going to make you look like an idiot. But for step one, I want you to just cross your arms for a second. Don't think about it too much. Just go ahead and cross them over your chest like you might if you were cold or just relaxed in a conversation. Arms crossed. Good. Step two, just briefly look down, okay, while your arms are crossed. And notice which arm rests on top. All right. Once you note this, uncross your arms. And in the workbook, they give you a little box to check on which arm was on top, your left or your right. But just remember it in your head, okay? Okay, step three. So now that we've got that, shake your arms out. Shake them out. I'm doing it right now. So now that we've shaken our arms out, gotten them all loose again, I want you to cross your arms again. But this time, cross them the other way, okay? cross your arms the opposite way from what you did before, so that the arm that was on top is now on the bottom and vice versa. And once you've done this, hold that position for a minute or two. Is it feeling weird? While you're holding the position, I'm going to go over that one more time. So the first time you just cross your arms like normal, you note which arm is on the top. And then you after you shake out your arms, recross them and take that arm that was on the bottom and put it on the top and hold it for a minute, which is what you're doing now. And I bet you have feelings about that. I think I did the first time I did it. It felt really weird. It felt really, really weird. And we're going to read about why that goes on. So then they ask, which was harder, the first time crossing your arms or the second time crossing your arms? For me, it was definitely the second time. That's not to assume that it's like that for everybody, but for me, it definitely was. The second time was really awkward and weird. They ask, what happened when you tried to do it the opposite way? Did you have to think about it? Did it take a second? Did you cross them one way and then have to actually uncross and reverse it? Was there any feeling that like your body was actually fighting you on this, basically? And the next question is, how did it feel to hold the opposite position of crossing your arms? For me, like it really, the muscles felt strange. The whole thing was just odd. My brain was just like, this is weird. This is weird. This is weird. And here's where they dive into the meat of all of that little, and that's it, by the way. That's it. That's the whole experiment. It's funny how much, especially after a beer or two, people are really tripped out by that. But now, okay, so the reasoning behind this, what you just noticed was your brain resisting change. And that's I'm going to say it again. What you just noticed, if you felt this strangely, what you noticed, that strangeness, was your brain resisting change. And that's involving something as simple as crossing your arms in a certain way, which you probably do all the time. But your brain has decided that the way you do it already is fine. So there's no point in learning to do it another way. Your brain wants to keep you running at peak efficiency. So it doesn't want you to change something unless there's a really good reason for it to change. What this means is that when you want to change something in your life that you've been doing for a certain way for a long time, including thinking in a certain way, your brain usually tells you that changing it is not right, that it's fake or phony or weird feeling. The fact that your brain does this is actually totally normal, even though it may be uncomfortable. This means that your brain is working properly. Keep pushing. If you keep doing it, practicing it, and leaning into that discomfort, over time, you can help your brain to form new habits, new pathways, and new skills. You do have the power to change your story and to adapt to new things. You just have to help your brain trust that some particular change is really important and to push through that initial resistance. Over the next week or two, over the next day or two, really, try to cross your arms the other way every time you remember, and see if it gets any easier. And it should. Your brain will start to get more flexible the more that you do it.
Hey, little girl. You gonna sit in my lap while I read? Yeah?
Okay.
Okay. Had to pause there while the neighbor kids decided to bounce a ball in the driveway.
No, I'm not enraged. Why do you ask?
So to keep going with these experiments in plasticity and adaptability, they have another exercise here, more to try. And I like this one too. So I'm gonna read it to you.
The same thing that our brain does with physical things that we learn, like crossing our arms or writing our name, how we walk and talk, etc. It also does with our thoughts. Our brains are set up to take in information and then store it and then move on to the next thing. And this is great. At least it's great until we want to go back and grab something we learned, pull it out of the system, and change it. Our brains don't like that. If that was super easy to do, if we could just pull out any piece of information and undo it on any given whim with little or no effort, the system would become pretty unreliable and unstable. So our brains make it more difficult to make sure that we really want to make that change. Think of it like building a house of cards. Each new card you put into your house takes a lot of focus and effort, and each card needs a few other cards to rely on to stand in place. Every thought and fact has to be related to another fact in some way to make sense to us as well. Once a card is in place in that house just right, that card stays pretty stable, and you can keep building on top of it. But if you wanted to go back and pull a card out, a whole bunch of cards often come with it. So this house of cards wants you to be really sure that you want to change something, because it will take a lot of energy to make that happen. So it's going to put up a whole lot of roadblocks in your way before it's going to actually let you pull a card out of that house and change it around. And let's see this system in action. Here is an exercise to show you what this is like for the brain and the house of cards that it is building. Okay, so first things first, this question may sound a little weird, but without overthinking it too much, try your best. Just answer the question below as to what your first instinct is and write it in the space below, which, since obviously this is an audio, just think about it. Okay? Ready? Picture two items or find them in the room that you're in, a clock and a tissue box. All right? Between the two items, the clock and the tissue box, which one is better? And why? So think of a few reasons, whether it's the clock or the tissue box, think of a few reasons why it's better. Okay. Now that you've thought about it, write down some reasons, or in an audio's case, think of some reasons why the other item, the one that you didn't initially choose between the clock and the tissue box, why that other item is actually the better item. So, my question is, which question was easier to answer? Listing the reasons the first item was better, or listing the reasons the opposite item was better? So now let's stop and think for a second. Do you really think there's a true right answer to this question? When we stop and think, there really isn't. Either item could be considered better. It all depends on how you look at it and what you compare it to. The trouble is, once your brain has decided on one thing, your brain doesn't like to change from that decision. So even though logically we know there is no right answer to this, I want you to notice if your brain echoes back to you in any way and says, well, maybe not, but my answer was still the best. Often the brain keeps chiming in on the decision it made, trying to shore up that house of cards and put some roadblocks in your way before it lets you truly release that arbitrary belief you just made up in your head right now. The point here is this. As we develop ideas or decisions about how life is and why it is the way it is, we create another little card in our worldview, the way we see and interpret the world around us. Most of these little cards get put into our house, and they work just fine. Most people agree on most things at a basic level. No one would argue against the fact that a microwave oven is larger than a pin, for instance. Most physical things in the world around us are largely agreed upon. But when it comes to values, to meaning, to identity, and a purpose in our lives, things really do become more up to whoever is writing the script. The good news is, you get to write your own script. Even though it doesn't always feel like it, the first step is learning that you can take charge of that script. And even if something is felt written in stone for years and years and years, you can unwrite it. You can unpublish that story in your brain and replace it with a new one. Or you can add a new follow-up chapter. We're going to explore this more in the next activity, which is a good one. It might feel like your house of cards is going to tumble down when you try this. But sometimes this little internal crumbling of an old or unhelpful idea is a good thing. You then get to change and rebuild that part of your house of cards in a way that works for you. So that's the intro to this amazing workbook. And I am going to, depending on, you know, if this is helpful for anybody, maybe it's helpful for me just to record it and read it. But I'm going to keep going through this. The second activity, which I'll probably record tomorrow, kids in the driveway willing, is one of my favorite things to do with stuck thoughts and how to rewrite sort of these scripts that run around in your head that associate one thing with another thing. Questioning why you hold some beliefs that you might not have thought to question before. It's really productive. It's really great. Again, it's not a substitute for therapy, but in this time where there's so much uncertainty about even like what life is going to be like in the next 2 weeks, let alone a month, I think this is something that is really good for anybody. Again, I know it's called the Resilience Workbook for Teens. And I would recommend this. I had someone ask, you know, talking about one of their children, what to do. You know, they're worried about their youngest who's suffering from anxiety and depression. As someone who suffers from anxiety and depression, I feel for them. I really do. I feel for that parent who wants to, you know, keep their kids safe and secure. And I feel for that kid, man, because anxiety and depression suck and it's shit to go through. And I'm not saying that this book will heal it or cure it or anything like that. But it is a great way to harness your mental energy, to channel it somewhere productive when it could be ping-ponging around, like, you know, watching the latest reactionary news on Twitter. This is a great way to plug into something that's actually going to help you in the long run. The idea of social isolation is really daunting and really scary, and there's this sense of deprivation of all these things we can't do. And I think the best way to counter that is to find not a conflicting thought, but the opposite side of the coin, which is we all have time now to cultivate our inner practices more. We have time now to adopt a meditation practice or a yoga practice or work through, you know, a resilience workbook. Anything that that involves self-growth is something that we can really focus on right now. We have the time. Those of us who are lucky and privileged enough to be at home during this, I will, you know, say that with a caveat. There are some people who don't have that luxury, and my heart goes out to you more than anyone else right now, honestly. It is a privileged position that I am talking from here for sure. But a lot of us who find ourselves in that place, who are climbing the walls, inner work, self-work is a wonderful, wonderful thing to get in the practice of doing. And if you're already in the practice of doing it, delve deeper, deeper. It's always going to be helpful. I don't think there's any wasted time when it comes to working on managing stress or cultivating a growth mindset, like the cover of this book says. Embrace who you are, bounce back from adversity, and achieve your full potential. These are things that we always will need in life. So why not, you know, while we have some stillness, why not put in the work now? So yeah, you can get this on Amazon if you want to work along on your own. Otherwise, you know, if you like this and you want me to delve into it more of the exercises and things, let me know. But I think, you know, for a lot of the issues that we're facing, resilience is the key word here. Adaptability is another one. Basically being okay with change, because this is some crazy change. This is surreal disruption. That's the phrase that I locked onto. Surreal disruption of everything normal. So if you are shell-shocked by that, you're not alone. It's weird out there, guys. It's really weird out there. It really is. In some ways, I'm comforted by some of it. Like, it's weird because there's this feeling also of, because I am very lucky in this regard, and I speak only for myself here, but if anyone identifies with this, then I'm glad that you don't feel alone here. But I feel like I've been able to, you know, get the food and medicine that we need kind of stocked up. Not hoarding, but just for the next couple weeks, we've got things we need. My partner's working from home, so I get to see them more. I'm around my dogs more. I get to cook more. There are some certain elements of this that I'm finding almost comforting in that, you know, hunkered down, huddled in, we're okay, we're safe, and we're set. That is a luxury point of view. I understand that. But if you find yourself in the position of your needs are met for the foreseeable future and you have the ability to relax a little or breathe a little or rest a little or recuperate a little, feel to the depths of your being, right down to your little tippy toes. Feel how lucky you are to have that. There are a lot of people out there who don't and who are very scared. If you're one of the people out there who don't feel like your needs are being met or are worried about income or worried about stability in the next weeks or months, I, first of all, just want to let you know that my heart goes out to you. I think there's so much bravery in just the act of existing right now. I think that anyone who is feeling scared or unsure, that's normal. And we're all feeling that way in a certain degree. I would say the best thing that you can do is try to cultivate mental resilience, you know? So that's why I'm delving into this book, because I feel like no matter what place you're in, the best way to help ourselves is really to work on our hearts and our minds. If anyone has any resources for people who are struggling right now, all I off the top of my head can recommend is feedingamerica.org is a list of food banks for supplies, for shelf-stable foods to help you get through the next couple weeks. I would say also, by the way, if anybody can download Nextdoor, beware of the misinformation or the fear-mongering, but also there's a community there. Get to know your neighbors. If you can offer help or if you can accept help, help people get, it gives everyone a sense of purpose. So download Nextdoor and see what you can do to help people around you. And even if that's just making a YouTube playlist of shows that you find relaxing or clips that you find relaxing or music that you find relaxing, even putting that together and circulating that on the internet, like whatever we can do to put some good out in the world, to help others cope, I think it's a good way to find some purpose when we're feeling sort of adrift and unsure, not on steady ground. Personally, if I sound stuffed up, that's because I am. I have a sniffles. I think it's probably allergies. I don't have a sore throat and I don't have a fever. So I'm, not particularly concerned about having COVID. If I develop any of those things, I will do my best to try and find a way to get tested. But even then, the best thing I can do is do exactly what I'm doing, which is social isolation, social distancing. But yeah, I'm hunkered down. I've got enough supplies. And I have little projects like what I'm doing right now to keep me from climbing the walls. And then, also venting on Twitter about murdering children. That's also really, that's a helpful outlet. And what's funny is they've been a little more quiet today. So my murderous tendencies have actually really started to subside. I'm feeling very zen and tranquil today. And I hope I can pass a little bit of that on to you. I don't have a platitude of this is all going to be okay or everything happens for a reason because who the hell knows? I will say that there will be positives that come out of this. There will be some resets, societal resets that I think might need to happen. Realizing about, people who can telecommute, that that's a viable option for a lot of jobs that maybe previously we weren't considering. Thinking about just the way that that can reduce emissions, the way that that can reduce traffic, the way that it can reduce injuries and accidents. Good God. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of weirdly beneficial things that seep out from this crisis. I don't know what those will be yet, but they will happen. There will be some good that comes from this and some kind of societal advancement that comes from this. Hopefully people learn their lessons on this. And if there is another pandemic in our lifetime, then we will know how to respond to it. Other than that, I don't have a lot of comforting things to say because right now it's just a daily process of, getting through it. Do what you can for yourself. Do what you can for your loved ones. Do what you can for your neighbors and your friends. And take care of your heart and your mind. I miss social connections a lot right now. I'm definitely going through that feeling of feeling cooped up. I'm looking into, finding ways to... What was it? It used to be Rabbit. There's got to be some other service out there now where you can, watch TV shows and movies online simultaneously in little viewing parties. I really want to get that going, especially for Westworld. Oh my God. I really want to watch Westworld with my Westworld buddies. But again, like if staying home is the biggest sacrifice that we have to make for some of us, like that's, it can be managed. We won't go nuts. The fabric of society is not disintegrating yet. And there are going to be all kinds of solutions for real world problems that are going to be online solutions. I think, you know, the fact that I just had a therapy session on FaceTime is something that my therapist didn't really like doing before. And necessity has sort of created that option now. And honestly, sometimes for me, like if I'm in a bad place, I don't want to go, I don't want to get out and go to her office. Sometimes it's good for me to do that. But if I have a bad day where I really could do with the talk therapy and I can't quite bring myself to leave the house, and that those do happen, then it's a wonderful option now to have that ability to connect still and get the help that I need. Talkspace is a great online therapy program for people. If you don't have an established therapist right now, Talkspace is online therapy, and it I think even through texting, honestly. Like, I mean, I don't know that I would recommend. I think talking to somebody is always the best solution there. But emails and texting, if it helps you, if that's the way you want to do it, that's available now. That's out there. And again, if anybody has any resources for people stuck at home, for any, whether it's mental or physical or emotional health, whatever it is, drop them in the comment section of wherever this is posted. Like, whatever we can do, let's see what we can, the resources that we can drum up for each other, and the ways that we can show each other that, you know, everyone's still out there. We all still care about each other. The world is a little weird right now. It's going to stay a little weird for a while. We don't exactly know what the future is going to look like, but we also know that, especially thanks to social media, there's a hive mind out there where if there's a problem, it can be solved. We just have to ask for help and reach out and let others, give others the opportunity to help us, which in turn gives them a sense of purpose and a sense of well-being. I think that there can be a lot of positivity in this. I'm definitely not negating the seriousness or the spookiness of it all. That's very present. But I think as far as our mental real estate goes, devote 80% of it to looking for the positives and finding gratitude in whatever situation we've got. You can devote 20% to wallowing or bitching and whining. It's okay. It's okay to get upset and be angry and scared. It's absolutely okay. It's normal. But I would just, my only advice would be just don't let that occupy your mind to the point where it's all you think about anymore, or where those are the only emotions that you feel. And that's why, again, that's why I'm going to be working through this workbook here. I really think it can be helpful for a lot of people, and I hope that it's helpful for you. In the meantime, I am going to, what am I going to do right now? I'm going to go work on an audio that will be on Reddit soon, publicly released and everything. And it is it is not a comfort audio. No, it is a sexy, sexy audio. I have all the different sides. If you like those, then that'll be out in the next couple days, I think. If this helped, let me know. I wish all of you the best out there. I'm sending all my love, all my light, all my positivity. And I will be back soon with more of this resilience workbook and just sort of more sympathy for whatever it is that you're going through. I feel ya. I see ya. I hear ya. And you're all being very brave right now, and I'm proud of all of you. Okay? Okay. We'll talk soon. Bye, guys. Mwah.